Hi, and welcome to 20 Minute Christian Counselor. My name is Rob Orem. I served as a pastor for almost 25 years, and now I have my own counseling practice. If you'd like to learn more about me, or schedule a counseling appointment, or book a speaking engagement, visit my website at roborem.com. That's R-O-B-B, two B's, O-R-A-M.com. In this podcast, I provide biblical counsel for the practical matters of life. So if you're facing some challenges right now, either personally or in a relationship, and you're looking for some helpful wisdom, keep listening for the next 20 minutes or so. You'll be glad you did. Okay, welcome back. Well, today's episode I've entitled Three Things About Marriage I Wish I'd Learned Sooner. And I want to start off today by asking you a question. If you could go back and tell your younger self three things about marriage you wish you'd learned sooner, what would they be? Or another way to approach this, if you have kids, if you could go back and tell your child who's about to be married, or maybe someday when they're old enough to get married, if you could go and tell them three things they should know about marriage, what would you tell them? Well, after a lot of thinking and praying and wrestling with this idea, I'm going to tell you my three things. And let me just say, these are valuable things to know whether you're not yet married and you want to be someday, or maybe you're newly married or relatively newly married, or maybe you've been married a long time. I think these three things are important and relevant no matter what stage of marriage you are in. So let's get to it. Number one, you ready for this? This is probably the most important one. Number one thing, it's not all about your happiness. It's not all about your happiness. Marriage is a blessing. It's a gift from God. And it can be, at times, the most wonderful relationship in the world and the best part of your life. And in a place where your deepest desires and needs can be fulfilled. In fact, a recent University of Chicago study revealed that marriage is statistically the single best predictor of long-term happiness. So there's a connection there between happiness and marriage. But your happiness is not the primary purpose of your marriage. It's not about you having someone to love you. It's not primarily about you having sex. It's not mostly about you having someone to talk to or someone to do things with. It's not primarily about you feeling financially secure. It's not even primarily about you having a family. Those are all valid needs and desires and goals, and they're all part of a healthy, fulfilling marriage. But God's primary purpose for marriage is not meeting your needs and desires. And right now you might be thinking, well then, Rob, what is it? What can it be? I'm glad you asked. Listen, the primary purpose of marriage, God's primary purpose in marriage, is for your sanctification. And I realize that's a big theological term. Sanctification means literally to set apart for holy purposes. In other words, God works in and through your marriage to make you more holy. And that is his primary purpose. God is using your marriage relationship and this person, your spouse, to teach you, to train you, to test you, to grow you, to mature you, to set you free. In other words, to make you more like his son, Jesus. That is the highest and greatest purpose of your life, and that includes in your marriage. So, you need to change your perspective from this is where my desires and my needs are met to this is how God is making me more like Jesus. And that is a big paradigm shift. But that's something you need to work on. When it gets really, really hard in your marriage, and it will, I've been married a long time. I know what I'm talking about. When it gets really, really hard, first of all, don't let yourself even think about giving up or quitting. Don't even let that be an option in your mind. Remember, you promised, till death do you part. Instead, remember this bigger purpose in your marriage. It's not about my happiness. It's about God sanctifying me, God making me more like Jesus. So when it gets really hard, rather than thinking about bailing out, intentionally turn your heart and your mind to the Lord and ask him, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me right now? How are you trying to help me grow through this? What part of my character are you working on right now? How are you trying to make me more like Jesus, your son? If you process the challenging times in your marriage through this lens, this reality, this truth, it's going to change your perspective. It's going to change your feelings. It's going to change your experiences. It's going to change your reactions. It's going to change your choices. It's going to change your words and your behavior. And having this new lens is going to help your marriage to be all that God intends it to be. So that's the number one thing I would go back and tell myself that I've learned about marriage. It's not all about your happiness, Rob. Number two, this may not be revolutionary to you, but you and your spouse are more different than you realize. You're way more different than you realize. Our default is to kind of assume that our husband or our wife is just like us. We assume they think the same way we do. They feel the same way that we do. They share the same priorities. They have the same reactions. They have the same expectations, but they don't. And if you've been married for any length of time right now, you already know this. But I'm just saying the difference is even bigger than you realize. The truth is that each of us has unique needs and desires. The Bible tells us God created men and women. He made each of us unique persons, and he said that was good. He said it was very good. And most of the time, the husband's needs and desires are very different than the wife's. Let me just summarize some of these and realize I'm talking in generalities here. I understand there are variations, but in general, most husbands' deepest needs include things like needing admiration and encourage and support. We want you to be on our side. We need sex. We want sex. We need somebody to have sex with. We want somebody to do stuff with. We like to go out and do stuff. We like to have a companion to do stuff with. And of course, we want help and we need help with our home and with our kids and with our family. Now, in contrast, in general, most wives' deepest needs include things like affection, someone to talk to, someone who will listen, financial security, and just overall security. And of course, most wives are looking to their husbands for family commitment, to be the husband and the father in the home. And again, everybody's different. Your needs and desires might be different than what I've just shared. But the important thing is, you need to understand and recognize your own needs. You need to communicate those to your spouse. And you also need to understand and recognize your spouse's needs and intentionally begin to try to meet them. This is what the Apostle Paul talked about, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. He wrote, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And this really applies in a marriage relationship. And if both of you do your best to meet one another's needs, your relationship is going to be very fulfilling and very secure. So, listen to me. Stop trying to change your spouse. Stop trying to make him or her more like you. It's not going to work anyway. You can't do it. Instead, recognize and appreciate your differences. And then work to intentionally make your spouse happy, to meet her or his needs. And I got to say this, because we all naturally tend to operate like our spouses are just like us, we need to train them. It's okay. We need to help our spouses understand what our needs are and show them how they can best meet them for us. It's training them. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I mean, if he or she really loved me, they would just know how I feel. They would just know what I want. They would just know what I need. That kind of thinking doesn't help. It's okay to train your spouse. Maybe that's not the word you like, but it's the one I use. It's okay to train your spouse. Because again, you are more different than you realize. Number three, the third thing about marriage I wish I'd learned sooner. You have to keep working on your relationship. You have to keep working on it. The reality is nothing in this life stays the same. Things are going to keep changing all the time. You're going to go through seasons of life and seasons in your relationship. You know, you start off dating and getting engaged, then you get married. That's a whole fun, exciting season. And then you're starting jobs and careers. And then, Lord willing, you're starting a family and you're having babies and you're raising children through their different stages of life and their different ages. And then your kids get to high school. That's a big change. They become more independent. Maybe you're going to send them off to college. And then through all of that, you might be moving and changing homes, maybe changing churches, changing jobs, changing careers. You reach a point where you have an empty nest. And if you haven't reached that yet, let me just tell you, that's a big change. And then, Lord willing, you might become grandparents and have in-laws. And then at some point, you're taking care of your aging parents. And then you're, of course, getting older yourselves. It's all change, 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 change. Things don't stay the same. And in this busy life with all of the responsibilities and distractions and temptations and changes, you're going to naturally drift apart and not together. Life is going to tend to pull you apart and not bring you together. So you have to be careful not to let the tail wag the dog. Have you ever heard that expression? I love it. The dog is supposed to wag the tail. Don't let the tail wag the dog. In other words, don't let life and its circumstances control you. You have to maintain control with the help of God of your life. And that means sometimes you're going to have to say no, even to some good things. My point is, through all of this, You have to intentionally invest in your relationship. You're going to have to adapt to all these new seasons and stages of life as they change. And as far as your marriage relationship goes, you're going to have to continually prioritize it. Make it beside your personal relationship with God, which should always be number one. Your number two relationship in this life is your spouse. And then number three are your children. God, spouse, children, in that order. And you're going to have to continually prioritize your marriage and figure out ways, new ways, to invest in it and to protect it. So, when it comes back to just the two of you, whether it's empty nest or whether it's retirement when you're spending a lot more time together, when you get to that point, you still like each other. You still know each other. You still want to be married to each other. You still have some things in common. Unfortunately, seasons like empty nest and retirement are really common times that people get divorced, and it's because they have not continued to invest in their relationship. So how do you do this, Rob? How do you continue intentionally to invest in your relationship, your marriage, through all these changes and seasons of life? Well, let me just give you three important areas, and I can't go into detail, but you'll get them. Three critical areas you have to continue to invest in to maintain a healthy marriage. Number one, you have to spend time together. There's no way around this. You have to spend time together. Quality time. Time doing some enjoyable activities. Time when you're paying attention to each other. Time together, number one. Number two, you have to communicate. If I was going to identify one critical aspect of any healthy, successful relationship, it would be communication. And again, I don't have time to go into it, but actually episode number one of this season is all about communication. So if you haven't listened to that, check it out. There's some real practical, tangible things I share about how to grow and improve your communication. So time together, communication, and number three, grace. Grace is, it means giving someone what they don't deserve. And that's exactly what God has done for us. God has given us so much grace in our lives because of Jesus and who he is and what he did for us. We need to show our spouses grace as well. That means understanding, allowing them to make mistakes, forgiving them the benefit of the doubt, giving them another chance, grace. So time together, communication, and grace. If you do those three things, those are how you can maintain a healthy marriage and invest in it, even though life is changing all around you. So from my perspective, those are the three most important things about marriage that I've learned in my 37 plus years of marriage. Things that I'd wish I'd learned sooner, and I'm glad I know now, and things which I think will help your marriage. And so I want to encourage you to think about these things. And don't just think about them, pray about them. Talk to God about them. And then also talk about them with your spouse. Get on the same page together. Make a commitment together about these things. I believe if you do that, God is going to bless you and your marriage. Thanks for listening today. If you found this to be helpful to you, I want to ask you to do three things that would really be helpful to me. First, click on the subscribe or follow button so you can find out right away when I publish new episodes. Second, take a moment and write a review. This will help other people find this podcast. And third, share this podcast on your social media so your friends can be helped as well. Finally, if you'd like to contact me to learn more about my counseling practice, schedule an appointment, or arrange for me to come speak at an event, reach out to me at my website at roborum.com. That's R-O-B-B, two B's, O-R-A-M.com. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus.